I have some lights on top of me?
Thank you. The white lights. Lights. Praise God. How many of you have been blessed by the Lord this week?
Amen.
So let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for Jesus, because we would be so lost. So y'all grateful. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are expecting you to move in our lives this week, in this place, this house today. And all of you agreed to said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Praise God. God put on my heart for this next couple of weeks to start going over foundations of what we believe. Now, it's what we believe as a church, but that's not the real deal. It's what we should believe as a follower of Jesus. So foundations are like the first blocks that you set down before you build. And when you set these down, the building's going to last. So I'm going to go over foundations that we should be have an understanding. We start walking it out. Amen. So last week we talked about faith. What is faith? Why do we have faith? Why does God say we should live a life of faith? And we did that scripture, we talked about that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. All right, so sight meaning our five senses. And I don't know about you, but I had a couple of times this week, my five senses were screaming. Anybody have a few moments like that? Okay, I won't tell you what I said, too, one of them. I was like, golly gee whiz. Okay, so we have a temptation. How about that? Temptation to follow our five senses rather than what God says about our circumstances. But we walk by and not by sight. And I would have said, hey, you could get the CD if you missed it, but we had things crashing last week, so you can't get a CD. But if you would go to our bookstore, we have material on the subject of faith in little books, medium books, fat books, and skinny books. Okay, so go back there. If this is something new or this is something I just kind of wet your whistle and you just know a little bit, go back into our bookstore. Go ahead and pick something up because, hey, we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Okay, today I want to talk about another foundation of what we as a follower of Jesus should have right next to faith. It's called healing. Thank you for the enthusiasm. Healing, all right? And today it's going to be the big questions. Big questions, because listen, I don't know how you were raised. I don't know if you have a church background that said blah, 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 or you don't have a church background that didn't say anything. I don't know what your church experiences or your life experiences are, but guys, we can have things hit in our life, and you might have some questions about healing. You might have a big question about healing. So today we're going to do the big question about healing. And if you're taking notes, it's, does God still heal? Does God still heal? And the answer is yes. Okay. If you've taken notes, just write down these two scriptures. They're going to describe, well, okay, it's Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. Go look them up later. I'm just going to breeze through them. But these two scriptures describe something about Jesus and something about God that answers, does God still heal? Okay? Okay, so turn over to Colossians 1:15. 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, I encourage people, this church encourages people, all the mamas encourage people, read your Bible, one, and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you know why? Because that's all about Jesus when he walked on this planet. So the scripture said that Christ, Jesus, is the visible image of an invisible God. Right? He is the visible image of an invisible God. So if you want to know what God is all about, you want to know how he ticks and why he does what he does, go read about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he is the visible image of what God is, okay? Now, jump down to, or turn over, or just listen to me, whatever you want to do. Hebrews 1:3. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It's kind of my fun little chew-on Bible here. Ready? Hebrews 1:3. This son, who are we talking about? You can yell that word, Jesus. Okay, thank you. Okay. By the way, we are Pentecostal. You're allowed to yell occasionally. All right. So this son, Jesus, perfectly mirrors God. Perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. And I like the rest part. I'll read it anyway. And he holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. Okay. So if you want to see Jesus, he who is perfect, you read the Gospels. And if you want to know who God is, he is the perfect image of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect image of him. Okay. It's like looking in the mirror. Oh, I see me. Well, go look at Jesus. You will see God. All righty. Now, what I hope to do with this is erase my friend used to call it stinking thinking, but erase some ideas that you have in your brain where you might think God is bad and Jesus is good. You know, God does bad things and Jesus is good. So I'm going to just kind of go over some things as a foundation so we can get where we're going, all right? But it's kind of confusing sometimes. How many of you have read your Old Testament? How many of you read your Old Testament and you read about God's character? And he's like dropping lightning bolts and opening up, okay? So you can be a little confused, but I would like to erase that and just clear it up for you, all right? First, in the New Testament, when you read the New Testament, it's written about three big groups of people. I mean, you could have this and this. But if you were to put three groups of people that are written in the New Testament, you have the Jews. You ready? You have the church. And you have those that are far from God. In the New Testament, just three groups. Okay? Those three. Now, Old Testament. That side of the Bible, okay? Old Testament, Old Covenant, you only have two groups of people. The Jewish people, or they're called the children of Israel, or God's chosen ones, okay? You have them, and then you have those that are not. There's just two groups, all right? Just two groups. So God makes a covenant with the Jewish people, the children of Israel. He makes a covenant with them. With them, okay? And he says, hey, y'all, you do this, this, and this, and this, this, and this. Blessings are going to happen in your life. And hey, covenant people, my chosen people, if you don't, well, then these things are going to happen. So we have the covenant people, God's people over here. But guess what happens over here? These guys over here. They're not in covenant. They're not Jews, okay? And they're not following God. Matter of fact, most of the time, they're a pain in the tush to God's people. They're just always after them trying to kill them. So we have God's chosen people, and then we have those that are not. All righty? Now, like I said, if you read your Old Testament, God did some stuff, right? He did some big stuff in the Old Covenant here. And you can start thinking, well, I don't know about this character. He's quite a character, such as, let me give you an example, Pharaoh. Pharaoh was not a chosen one, chosen Jewish person, right? And he was after God's chosen people, and he was just harsh on them, and God tried to get his attention, and therefore he didn't listen. Well, not therefore, but he didn't listen, so then God sent these plagues, right? All right, and so he sent these plagues, God's wrath was poured out on those that were not God's chosen people. All righty? So we have God's chosen people and those that are not. And this really interesting is why did it happen? They were not God's chosen people. They were not in covenant, so God's wrath came on them. Now, you might be thinking, well, gee whiz, God in the old covenant does that? Yeah, he did. But listen, we live in a new covenant, and it changed. It changed, okay? It changed. So you read in your new covenant, New Testament, Matthew all the way over, okay? And it says, God is good. Everybody read that in your Bible? God is good all the time. God is love. You read that? Okay. So I'm thinking, and you might be thinking, well, I'd like to serve the God of the New Testament because he's good all the time. And that God of the Old Testament, no. Okay. But again, I want to say it changed. It changed. Okay. And what I want you to see, it changed because someone came and his name was Jesus, and God poured his wrath, how many have read that, and his anger and his judgment, by the way, God judged, okay, on Jesus. So I don't have to have God's wrath and judgment poured out on me. You don't have to have God's wrath, his anger and judgment poured out on you because of Jesus. All right, good. Now, and I, you know, sometimes I think, whoa, you know, I just wasn't as sweet as I am right now before I met Jesus, and I will not tell you or my kids half the story, okay? And I think, whoa, can you imagine if I had to pay for some of that stuff? But I don't, because God poured his wrath and his anger out on Jesus, all right, for me. And you might be here and you're going, wow, you know, I've done some stuff. No, you don't have to be afraid, because God poured his wrath and his anger out on Jesus for us. Praise God. Now, when he did that, when God poured his wrath and out on Jesus, it satisfied Jesus. Have you ever given a baby who's screaming their head off? Just screaming their head off, and you finally get a bottle in their mouth, and they're like, I have a granddaughter, and I guess that's why it makes sense to me. Well, Jesus satisfied God's anger so that we do not have to have his wrath, his anger, his judgment poured out on us. That's a good time to say amen. Okay. Now, praise God. If you're taking notes, so the title of this is the big question, does God still heal? Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus mirrors healing. Alrighty. Did you know, in case you all know, that God healed in the Old Testament? Yeah, there were healings in the Old Testament. How many of you know some stories about being healed in the Old Testament? Lots of stories, okay? Yeah. So God healed in the Old Testament. Praise God. Matter of fact, God is called Jehovah, the healing one, Rapha. Okay. The Lord, our healer, okay? So he's called the Lord, the healer. And then we have Jesus. Okay, how many of you have read some stories where Jesus went around healing people? Couple, right? So Jesus in the New Testament is healing. And then after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he's got his apostles and disciples, and guess what they were still doing? Healing, okay? And then when the last apostle died, and we keep going through church history up to today, God still heals. Anybody been around? No, anybody have received healing in their bodies? I have. Praise God, okay? Now, So I just want to encourage you that the answer to that question is, does God still heal? Yes. And if you would stick around to the very end, we would love to pray for you, because God, I'm getting ahead of myself, wants to touch everybody. But anyway, all right. Now, how many have gone through some stuff in your body? Okay. I'm going to tell a story. A lot of you know the story, so I'm just going to make it really short. But I have four children. My third child, when she was 6 months old, she was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma. Translation, bladder cancer. And it was bad. Okay. Percent of living, less than 20%. Okay. And it was bad. It was tough. 6 month old baby. I'm like, geez. And interestingly enough, we had some amazing doctors. We actually went to Johns Hopkins, and I had a pick. The doctors come in, and you have a pick. Do you want the red lollipop or the green lollipop? I said, well, I'll take red. It's my favorite color. That's how I picked Hopkins. I had no clue. It turns out, guess who was at Hopkins? The number one world pediatric urologist just happens to work out of Hopkins. Okay? And I didn't know. I just picked the red lollipop. I was like, okay, I'll do that one. All right? And let me tell you about this. God, had it not been for God sending us there, and this doctor, who, by the way, he told us as we got to know him for the next couple of years, he goes, you know, I'm the first in my family who did not become a Methodist minister. I became a doctor. So he knew some stuff, okay? And he came in after surgery, and he says, I just want to tell you that it was your God that was in that surgery. It was a 15-hour surgery, okay? And then we had these, the white coats. Anybody familiar with white coats, okay? The white coats come in, and there were two big guys. Actually, one was really tall, and the other one was short. They're two Jewish doctors, and they said, I just want you to know that your boss upstairs, it's because of him. So I just want to say this. Sometimes people of church, people of faith, think there's a collision with doctors, like doctors of the devil. Okay, my daughter would not be here. Now, God was there, and he sent us to the best also. God, the best up here and the best here, okay? And she's now 30-something. I can't remember how old my kids are. It was really easy when they were in school. One was in second grade, fourth grade, sixth grade, eighth grade. I don't know. Okay. But she's 30-something, married, lives in California, and she's just blessed. Okay. And today, today, when the American Cancer Society calls me up, I give. Today, when the Ronald McDonald House, okay, I can get there. I cry every time. I give. And those Penn State students that stand on the corner, I give, okay? Why? Because I'm not mad at God, and God's not mad at me, and he's a good, good God, all right? And I thank God. And by the way, doctors are on the same side. And probably there's a whole lot of people here that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a doctor. Anybody say amen? Amen. Yeah. All right. So please. Okay. How about we pray for doctors? This is one of my prayers. Just one of them. Father God, I thank you that you give supernatural wisdom to men and women, researchers in the science field, that would find cures and for these things that we call incurable. I thank you for those, their eyes would see and their ears would hear, and they would just find those cures, like for cancer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? That would be awesome. Praise God. So, but here, okay, enough of that. So we go through things in life, all right? So let's talk about, does Jesus still heal, all right? And I want to let Jesus answer that question. I want Jesus to answer that question. So therefore, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, okay? Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, does God still heal? So Jesus came and left heaven, came to the planet, and he met this individual who had a problem. Had a problem. Matter of fact, in that day, it was bad. Okay, it was an incurable thing. Incurable, okay? And here we are, Luke chapter 5, verse, too many pages here. How about verse 11? Luke 5:11. So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything and followed him. Verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Everybody say covered. That means it just wasn't on his elbow, right? He was covered, okay? He was covered. Not a little bit, but a lot. And by the way, this is Luke who's writing this. He's a doctor. Did you know that? Dr. Luke, and he's writing this, and he says, this guy, he's covered, right? So he's covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean, okay? You can make me clean. So interesting. Here we have this guy with an incurable disease. Incurable. That means it's not going away. It's bad. It's going to probably get worse and worse. And he says, if you're willing, you can make me well. All right? And now Jesus didn't act like some people. People can be really, nice words, Pastor D, say nice words. People can be very interesting at times. Like people, you know, I'm having a bad day, so I can't heal you. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? No, he didn't do that. You know, gee whiz, that's just the cross you have to bear. Suck it up. No, he didn't do that. Okay, so let's go on to verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man, and he said, I am willing. He said, be clean, and immediately the leprosy left. Okay. I want to tell another story. I'm not lost. I know what street I'm going down here. But the first year after Jack and I got married, we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. By the way, it is not a pretty part of the world to live. Pennsylvania is beautiful. So we're living there. And we went there because Jack wanted to go to Bible school. I did not. Later on, I went. And we went there, and we're going to this church, Faith Christian Fellowship, and our pastor was Pastor Buddy Harrison. Anybody here of Harrison House Publications? They print up probably a lot of books, okay? He's also Brother Hagin's son-in-law. Some of you may know about that, okay? And interesting enough, I went there 40 years ago. There are some days, guys, I don't even remember what I ate yesterday. I don't even remember what I wore yesterday, except for I dropped it at the end of the bed, okay? But 40 years ago, I remember a message from this pastor, and it stuck to me. It, like, I could see myself there. I used to fight for the front row. I could see it. And the message was, Jesus took the if out. And I was like, now listen, I'm just a youngin'. I finally found out Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are not just Catholic names we name our kids. They're the guys in the Bible, okay? I didn't know nothing. So, and I'm like, Jesus took the what? If? What? Out? I didn't know there was an if. He took it out. I mean, I'm like, wow, by all of this, all right? And listen, the if, we're still asking that same question that Luke described. 2,000 years later, people are still asking the question, okay? If you're willing, will you heal? And Jesus said, yes, I am. Yes, I will. All right, praise God. Now, how many like to read different translations, okay? I sit around, they're all scattered all over. I take that back. 99% of them are still in a box. I will get to the boxes after who knows when. Okay, but I found my Living Bible, and listen to what it says, the same thing. Living Bible, it says, one day in a certain village he was visiting, Jesus was visiting, and there was a man with an advanced case of leprosy. Everybody say advanced, okay? And when he saw Jesus, he fell to the ground before him, face downward in the dust, begging him to be healed. And he said, sir, if you only will, you can clear me of this trace, of every trace of my disease. And Jesus, check this out. Jesus reached out, touched him, the man, and said, of course I will. Be healed. And the leprosy left. Okay. So Jesus took this guy and he said, of course I will. You know, sometimes I like to just daydream and I'm like, I wonder what Jesus looked like then. Like, did he have a smile on his face? And he said, yes, of course. I think he did. Oh, gosh darn, of course I will. No, guys, I'm pretty sure Jesus was like, yes, of course I will. All righty. Now, can I tell you, whatever you're struggling with today, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going, yes, I want to help you. Okay. Can I tell you about this guy with leprosy? He had advanced leprosy. Can I tell you, back in the day, if you had leprosy, you had to leave your home. Can I tell you, you had to leave your home, your family, you had to leave the community that you lived in. Can I tell you, they would ship you off to a place where only people who had leprosy, that's where you hung out. Those are all the people that you got to hang out with. Can I tell you that if you had advanced leprosy, the parts of your body would fall off, your nose, your ears, if it was really bad, and your fingers. Can I tell you that this guy, Jesus, didn't care that guy had leprosy. This guy, Jesus, didn't care. He reached out and touched him. And said, yes, I'm willing, be healed. So does Jesus heal? He sure does, okay? You know, sometimes I will have things in my life, and sometimes y'all have things in your life, and we think they're big. Oh, man. No. I had somebody one time, I was in this situation, they go, well, that's bad. And they walked away from me. I'm like, well, thanks for encouragement. You know, so sometimes we have things that are bad we're going through. But listen, God never says, oh, that's bad. You're in a mess. See ya. He does not do that. He does not do that. Matter of fact, he's wanting to reach out. And I've had people tell me, I got this, and this. And especially back in the day when AIDS first came out. Okay, they have come so far in cures for something like that now, but people weren't touching people. All right, but listen, God does not walk away from any of your mess, how big, how little. He is always and still does reach out, and he goes, "Yes, I'm willing. Be healed." Praise God. All righty, let's read. Go back to Luke. Let's read verse 14, Luke 5:14. Then Jesus, okay, so Jesus has done this. He's healed the guy, and then he ordered him after he healed him. He ordered him something after he healed him, and he ordered him not to tell anybody. Okay, long, long time ago in a far, far away place, I volunteered. This is, oh my gosh, 30 years. Yeah. I color my hair, that's why. I volunteered to work in the kindergarten computer room. I figured they don't know anything and I don't know anything. And the teacher said, the guy says to all the little kindergartners, don't press the red button. He ordered them, don't touch the red button. You know what every little kid did? I looked at him, I'm like, you have not taught kids, right? Okay, so this is just me thinking about this. So where am I? He ordered him, don't tell anybody, but go show yourself to the priests. Okay, he's still living under the old covenant. Okay, that's why he's following the old covenant rules. That's why I said, go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them, right? They're still living under old covenant. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear Jesus, to be healed of their sickness, and Jesus often, took off and prayed. Praise God. Alrighty. So if you're taking notes, number one, Jesus mirrors healing. Number two, you ready? Jesus is willing. Did you get that? Jesus is willing. So that should not be, I don't know, maybe he's mad at me. No, Jesus is willing, okay? Do you know that I don't have to, have you ever tried to convince somebody to do something with you? Uh-huh. You don't have to convince him to healing to reach out to you. He's more willing than you're willing. He is convinced. He is. Okay. So Jesus is willing. Alrighty. Now, just think about it. Is there anyone who ever came to Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where, God had a bad day, Jesus had a bad day, and he said, sorry, I'm going fishing, not healing today? No, okay. The kids are up all night. I'm in a bad mood. We're not healing today. Okay. No, Jesus never did that. Jesus never withdrew healing. He was always willing, always willing, always willing. Okay. Now, but, everybody say but. But, Pastor D, there's this case in the Bible. I want to talk about it. There's this case in the Bible where Jesus looks like he refused healing to an individual. It looks like he said no. Okay, so open up to Matthew chapter 15, because I know y'all wanted to say, but Pastor D, there's one place. Okay, Matthew 15. I'm going to go through this story, but I wanted you to see the end results, not so much focus on the beginning and middle, but the end results. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 22. A Canaanite woman. Okay, some of your translations might say Syrophoenician woman, okay? Basically, remember two groups of people? You either were the Jewish covenant people or you're not. She's a not, okay? So a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. Why? My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly, okay? Now, Jesus didn't answer her. Okay, so I'm out in the foyer, and I'm talking to you and you all, and then you come up to me, and I just don't answer you. I would say, you rude thing, didn't your mama teach you anything? Okay, that's kind of rude, all right? But listen, so she's crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And Jesus did not answer a word, all right? Jesus didn't answer a word. So let's go read the next verse. The rest of it. So the disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. All righty. Jesus didn't answer a word, and they're schlepping her underneath there. Okay, now why? Let's see. Why? Remember two groups of people. Read the next part here. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, if Jesus was on Facebook, Twitter, and whatever else they have there, he would have been binged up, blown up, okay? He just said something totally politically incorrect. You might have even thought he was a little racist. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel and not this lady. Yeah, ow. Okay? Think about what he just said, okay? So he just goes, no, I'm not going to talk. So the woman came and knelt before, and she said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, okay? She's like, Son of David. By the way, when she said Son of David, she's talking Jewish people, Son of David. She's not a Jew, okay? Might be one of the reasons why I didn't answer, but then she just, have you ever just finally just cried out and said, God, help me? God help. She's at the end of it, and she goes, God help me. Lord help me. Lord help me. All righty. he replied, get this, put your seatbelt on. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss them to the dogs. He just called her a dog. Okay? And he's not just throwing stones and labels on people. Okay. All righty. So why? Again, two groups of people. In this, the children of Israel, the children of God's promised children, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, okay? And then if you're not that, then you are a dog. It's just the way it was back then, okay? Okay, but hang on to the ending. Gets better, okay? And she says, yes, it is, Lord. She's like, I am, okay? All right? And then she goes, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And your daughter was healed at that moment. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus always extends healing. Always extends healing. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what side of the tracks you came from, Jesus always extends healing, okay? And today, he still extends healing, no matter who you are, all right? Okay, before I close up, remember when I said in the beginning, we talked about that God had to put his wrath, his anger, and his judgment on someone? God had to put his wrath and anger and judgment, and it was poured out on Jesus. And because it was poured out on Jesus, I don't have to have wrath, anger, and judgment for God, okay? Okay, we don't have to do this. So closing thing, turn to Isaiah 53, and write this down. Jesus, real simple, Jesus paid for healing. Now, some of you are like, duh, Pastor D. Yeah, but guys, this is like one of those foundations. And you got to know that you're standing on that. So we're just going to go over that, okay, and then we're going to pray at the end. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 10. Now, before I go, Jesus paid for healing. How many of you know Jesus paid for your salvation? Yeah. He paid for my salvation. And listen, there are days, often every day, God, thank you for sending Jesus to save me, to rescue me. so that I am now your daughter. I am made right with you. I am made blameless before your sight. I am holy. And I cry 40 years later. All right. So you know that Jesus paid for your salvation. You can't pay for it. You can't work for it. Jesus paid for our salvation. All righty. But listen to this. I'm going to read out of the Young's literal translation. It was written by a Hebrew scholar, which I am not. But so listen to what it says. And Jehovah, or God, hath delighted, underline that, delighted. Now, I like Dairy Queen's hot fudge sundaes. I am delighted. Just my happy place, just really love them, all right? So but listen, he delighted. That's that same word. He delighted. Not a hot fudge sundae. Jesus, okay, God delighted to bruise him. Who's the him? Jesus. God delighted to bruise him, and he hath made him sick. All righty. Another translation, it's a complete Jewish translation, says it this way. It pleased Adonai. Adonai is one of the old names for the names for God in the Old Testament, but it said it pleased him, all right, to crush Jesus with illness. So you've got it. God was delighted. God was pleased to crush him, to bruise him, to put sickness on him. All right. So think about it. God sends his son from heaven to earth, and they whip him and they nail him to a cross. And you know, a lot of times we think, well, the Jews killed him and the Romans killed him. No. Don't get stuck on that. God sent Jesus, and on that cross, he poured out every sickness and disease on him, right? Anybody ever read that? Hang on, we're going to read that, all right? And he did that, and it said it delighted God to pour sickness and disease and illness on him. Okay, now we'll get to the happy place in a second. Isaiah 53:4-5. Isaiah 53 says, surely sickness he hath bore, talking about Jesus, and our pains, and he carried them, and we have esteemed him, plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgression, he is bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of is on him, and by his bruises or stripes, there is healing to us. That's the good place, okay? That's the good place, all righty. Now, the person who wrote that is Isaiah. Isaiah is found in the Old Testament. He's an Old Testament prophet, and you may not know this. I actually learned teaching children's ministry. If you don't know something, go teach children's ministry. We just get the basics down there. But Old Testament prophets and kings, only those two groups, would have a special ear into God. They were the special ones, okay? And the prophets, God would open them up to that they could see forward. They could see forward in the future, okay? So here we just read Isaiah. That's Isaiah the prophet, and God had allowed him, opened up his eyes that he could see forward. And what he saw forward, thousands of years later, I don't know the exact how many years later, okay, was Jesus being crushed and bruised with sickness and disease. Okay? And he writes this hundreds of years before it happens, all righty? Now, so we just celebrated Easter, and you know, Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, guys, there's something more, remember? There's more. God poured out his anger and wrath on Jesus so that we could be set free, all right, from every sickness, okay? Praise God. Now, jump over to Matthew. Let me give you a New Testament scripture. Matthew. Let's see if I have it. Matthew 8:16-17. Can you pop that up? Because I don't have it. Praise God. Matthew 8:16-17. Okay. And evening had come, they brought to him. Are we in Matthew 8? Yep, okay. And evening having come, they brought to him many demoniacs, and he did cast out the spirits with a word, and he did heal all. Jesus heals all who were ill, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken through the prophet. We just read that. Okay, Isaiah saw this then, that it might be fulfilled with it, spoken through the prophet. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He did bear. Okay. Jump over to 1 Peter 2:24, and then we're going to close up. Praise God. Just, okay, while you're getting over there, just imagine Jesus walks to the door. He starts walking up and down the aisles. He's just walking up in the aisles, okay? And if you were to walk up and say, Jesus, I was at the doctor Friday, and I was just diagnosed with this incurable blank, 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 okay? Can you imagine Jesus just going, well, you know, I don't do that no more. I did that back then. I just don't do that no more. And he just walks away from you. Some people think he don't do that no more, okay? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay? Now, and by the way, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there he is. Guess what? He's here today. He's still reaching out and doing and desiring all these things. Okay, yet 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree, that we having died might died to sin might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we... Oh, past tense, okay? So Peter puts us in the past tense. Isaiah saw it far, far, far in the future. Jesus actually did it. All right? And here's Peter saying, it's already done for you. Healing's already done for you. It's finished. It's done. Praise God. Now, I don't know if you're here today and you got a physical thing going on. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't know if you're here today and you've got some anxiety, depression, mental illness going on. I don't know what your thing is, okay? But gosh, Jesus says, by his stripes, you were healed. Isaiah saw it. Peter said it. Jesus did it. Praise God. Just write down this. Luke 4, is it like 18 and 19? Jesus shows up and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he goes and names all that stuff. He says, I'm taking care of all that stuff. All righty? Jesus still heals. That's his heart. It's not going to change. And the only thing that has to change is, are you willing? All right. So why don't you stand up? I want to pray. Praise God. You know, maybe you came here today and you're far from God. Someone just dragged you here. You have no clue what was this all about. And I just want to say thank you for coming. But let me tell you the second thing here. Jesus, when he spoke to that Canaanite woman about his daughter, she wasn't part of the covenant, right? And he still reached, and he still reaches, whether you know him personally or not. It is his heart just to reach out and touch you, okay? And maybe you're here and you've got something in your body. Maybe you're here, there's something going on in your marriage. Maybe there's something going on in your kids. Maybe there's just stuff, okay? He is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is still extending healing, all right? So I'd like to pray for everybody right now. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I think it was at Psalms 107:20, you sent your word, Jesus, to heal them and deliver them from all their destruction. Thank you. We thank you that you redeemed us through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice, through Jesus dying on a cross. We thank you. We thank you that you bought us and paid the price for us, Jesus, so that we could be free. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. So I just pray for everybody in this place. I don't know what you're dealing with, but can I tell you, he does still heal. His arm is not short. His ears are not plugged up. He is reaching out and says, I'm here today. And so what do we do? We're going to do what we always do. We're going to go to him. So Father, I've got some situations going on, and I don't know what you are, but just simply put your hand on your heart and say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that Jesus, you still heal. And I thank you that with your stripes, we were the healed. And I say that over my body, that my eyes are the healed. They are not diseased. They are not weak. I don't know what's going on in your body. That's what's going on in mine. And I thank you, Jesus, for your power, for your anointing in these bodies, in my body, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We declare that you are the healer. We declare that our bodies are set free. We declare that our minds are made whole. We declare that we are free. We declare whom the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, this is foundation to who you are when you ask Jesus into your life. This is foundational, all right? And I'd love to tell you this, that the rest of your life is just a roll in the park. But this is foundational, and if it's not for you, it's for somebody that you know, all right? And never be afraid. I don't know if God's going to heal. He's the healer. Your job is just to reach out, say, I'm going to pray for you. Do what Jesus did. So I'm going to dismiss you, but if you would like us to just pray about something and real specific, we'd love to pray for you up front here. Y'all are sweet. It has been my joy and my honor just to share the word with you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I don't know everything. Either does Google, but I'll pray and we'll get some answers for you, okay? Have a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Sunday. You're blessed. Amen.